We kind of are this year working our way through Scripture and the stories, especially of the Old Testament. And today we'll be in several stories actually found in Exodus, and we'll be in chapter 16 to 18. But before we get to that, I want to ask you all this question. How many of you remember what it was like to be a teenager? All our teens raised their hand. That's a good thing, right? That's so far back. How do you remember that far back in some cases, right? But you know those teenage years are challenging years, aren't they? As you're trying to kind of figure out life, try to understand yourself and trying to just get a feel for what this life is all about, and you live in the context of a family and trying to just figure everything out is a challenge. And when I was reading and preparing for the message, I came across something that reminded me, because we're going to be dealing with the children of Israel as they're in the wilderness. And the author said something along the lines of, this was the adolescent years for the children of Israel. And you know how those adolescent years, those teen years, can be kind of up and down and all over the place, right? How many of you as parents who have teens find that to be a challenging time? It's not easy. And you might be a grandparent and be dealing with that as well. And trying to, what are these kids thinking these days, right? But it's just not always easy. When you think about what the children of Israel dealt with in the wilderness and consider it as the adolescent years, it might make some sense, right, of why it was such an up and down and challenging time and why they didn't go right from getting delivered out of Egypt and go right into the promised land. It didn't happen quickly, did it? It didn't just automatically happen that way. Instead, there were these up and down kinds of times that they had to go through. And it was a time of confusion. It was a time of frustration. Grumbling and complaining. That don't happen with teens, does it? Or is that the parents I'm thinking of right now? Be careful. The children of Israel got a little bit combative with Moses, Aaron, and the leadership. And what they didn't realize was they weren't yet mature enough to handle freedom. Okay? Think about it. All of that time in growing up, those teen years, is all fighting for freedom, wanting to finally be free to do whatever you want to do type of stuff. Not realizing they're not quite ready for that. Not really realizing that, you just can't handle that yet. You think you can, but you can't. And that's kind of where the children of Israel are. And as we look at the scriptures today and we consider these testing times, they were testing times for the children of Israel, but they were also testing times for Moses and God. Because they had a tendency to test the patience even of God. So if you're a parent of teenagers today, just know that God understands. Okay? He gets it. And if you're a teenager today, also know that God understands. That's why we have teen retreats, right? For a weekend, kids are off. They can do all their thing. And parents, you're off. We better get to the message. Well, there were four main tests in the stories that we're going to look at today. And they were tests regarding food, drink, battle, and leadership. Okay? Those were the four tests that we're going to kind of look at today. The kind of test that tested both the children of Israel, but also tested God and Moses and all of his leadership. And so the first test has to do with food. How many teens love food?
Yes.
How many adults love food? Yeah, we're all on the same page here so far. But here's what we read. Exodus chapter 16, verse 2 says, "In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And they said things like this, 'If only we had died, because in Egypt we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted.'" Now, it's interesting how you can have selective memory loss. I mean, they were the ones crying out for God to help them because they were slaves, and they weren't getting to do anything and everything they wanted. But you know, because things were getting a little bit tough, they had a tendency here in the wilderness to grumble and complain and to say, "Man, we had it so great when we were back in Egypt, and we could just sit around the fire, and we had all kinds of food and everything we wanted." It's kind of like for parents when your kid goes off and he visits one of his friends and he comes home and you've set dinner in front of him and he says, "Ugh. When I was at his house, you know, whatever, whoseever house, they had ice cream and they had hamburgers and they had pizza and they had all the good stuff, and here I got to eat corn or carrots or whatever." There's no grumbling and complaining at dinner tables around your house, right? I was going to say something more. I won't say any more. But here in chapter 16 of Exodus, here is the word of the chapter: grumble, 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 grumble. At least six times the word grumble shows up in Exodus 16. And so you know what God does? You know what God does with these people grumbling over what they have to eat and all that type of thing? He rains down bread from heaven. Manna. It literally means, "What is it?" They'd never seen it before. They didn't know what it was. But here's God with these grumbling, grumbling children of Israel, giving them bread from heaven, as it's described. You know what? God is so much better to us than we deserve. Amen? We get treated better by God than we deserve to be treated. All of you who have ever asked Warren Collins how he's doing, he always says, "Better than I deserve," right? That's a good practice. And that's a reality for us, because God has always treated us better than we deserve. And so here, God rains down food from heaven for these people who are in this wilderness experience. And it says in chapter 16, verse 31, that it was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. I was tempted this morning to have like vanilla wafers or something for everybody today. I probably should have done that, since I'm saying something about it. If I'd have never said anything, you'd have never thought of it, right? But this promise from God to take care of his people as he's leading them out of their slavery was just as real and just as true in the wilderness as it was when they were coming through a Red Sea. But notice what it says also in chapter 16, verse 4, about this manna from heaven that he would give. It says, "In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." So God graciously gives them this manna from heaven, but there are some rules attached to it, okay? There's some guidelines for it. The guidelines are basically that you go out every day and get just enough for the day. You can't get enough for 2 days or 3 days and, you know, stick it in the fridge and save it. It's not going to work out in the desert. So you only get enough for a day. And then he says, but there will be an exception to that, because on the sixth day, you can go out and gather enough for 2 days so that on the Sabbath day, that seventh day, you don't have to go out. Fairly simple instructions, right? But you know, and I know, that every child, teenager, likes to kind of test the waters, test whether what the rules are. True? And so you have some who decide, you know what? I'm going to take more than what I need for one day and try to save it for the next day, even though they've been told that's not going to work. They weren't told what would happen, but they were told just get enough for a day. But they had to test the rules. They had to test the boundaries. And so some of them gathered a little bit more than they really needed for the day. And amazingly, you know what happens, don't you? The next morning, they think they're going to not have to go out and collect it because they'd already collected some from the previous day. And it's maggots and stinks like garbage. That's what happens when you try to stretch and break the rules with some of these things. It's not what you think it's going to be when you start going against the plan and the purpose God has. God has those rules out there, and one of the reasons for this one was that they would learn to rely on God every single day. That they weren't providing for themselves, they were going to trust God for daily bread, as the Lord's Prayer reminds us of. Now, you also know what happens, right? When they think that they can go out on the Sabbath day and collect something because they only collected for the one day instead of for the two, and they go out to do that, and we know what happens there too, don't we? Nothing. There's nothing out there for them to collect. They come home empty-handed and wish that they had collected some enough for 2 days on Saturday, right? Or on Friday, I guess I should say. Well, why is it that we have a hard time just doing things God's way? I mean, that's the whole issue for us human beings, isn't it? We have a hard time just following the guidance and the plans that God has for us. And then we wonder why things happen sometimes, why we get ourselves into such trouble. But God's already reminded us, you know, do it this way. And you don't even have to know all the reasons for it, but if you don't do it that way, you'll discover soon the reasons. God has a plan, God has a way. Just trust it, just follow it. It's a good way. I mean, those who followed the plan had food every single day. In fact, the scripture says that the Lord fed them while they were in the desert for 40 years. 40 years God supplied the need for every day they were in that desert. God will supply every need if we'll just trust Him, follow His plan, do His will. Well, there's a second test. I better get to that one. The second test has to do with what to drink. And here they are, as you would imagine, they're in a desert, and they get thirsty. They need water. But there also is that word that shows up again. Anybody know the word? Grumbled. I mean, you read these chapters, and you find grumbled there. And it says this in chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And in verse 3, they are described again as grumbling. And Moses gets so exasperated with the whole thing. In verse 4, he cries out to the Lord and he says, "What am I to do with these people?" Some of you parents have had moments where you said, "What am I going to do with these kids?" Right? I mean, that's the Lord here in the wilderness with these kids of His. What am I going to do with them? That's Moses having responsibility for the Lord's kids. What am I going to do with these kids? And so the Lord, again, graciously provides a way. And he says, you remember that staff that you have with you all the time? And that staff, when you hit the Red Sea water, that the seas parted and you walked through on dry ground? Well, this time I want you to use that same staff and go stand on a rock and hit the rock with that, and water will gush out. The Lord knows the needs before we do. And he knows what he's going to do with that. But for Moses, it was learning how to day by day by day trust God leading him even to do the right thing at the right time, because Moses would have had no clue how to get water for all these people. And so the Lord provided water for them there in the middle of the desert. But there's two names that are given to that place now, because the Lord says this place needs to be renamed. And the two names are Massah and Meribah. Massah means testing. Meribah means quarreling. And so from that time on, those two areas were going to be reminders of how even there, when God had provided so many other things, that they quarreled with God and with Moses, and they tested him as well. Now, my guess is in all of our lives, we probably have a few marker moments in our lives where we may have tested God, or we may have quarreled with God. Maybe no one here has ever done that, right? You've never argued with God about things. Maybe a few have. But forever they would be reminded of how there was this lack of trust in God. You see, all these testing times are tests of trust. If I'm the one, God's saying, if I'm the one who got you out of your situation there in Egypt in miraculous, incredible ways, won't you believe that I can get you to the land I've promised you? But you know, sometimes we have a hard time keeping that trust all the way through, don't we? I mean, it's wonderful to have experienced that provision of the children of Israel through a Red Sea and saved from Pharaoh's army, all that stuff. But what about today when I'm hungry? What about today when I'm thirsty? Will I trust God then? Well, let's go to the third test. The third test is a battle. It's a battle with the Amalekites. And Joshua comes into this picture. We haven't heard much of Joshua at this point, but Joshua is sent out to battle, leading an army from the Israelites against the Amalekites. And Moses is on a hillside overlooking where this battle is taking place. And as long as Moses had his arms raised and the soldiers could see and Joshua could see, everything, you know, Moses up there, they had courage and they fought and they were winning. But Moses' arms got tired. Now, I'm not going to do the test here because we might stay longer than we think, but how many of you think you could hold your arms up for a half an hour? With somebody helping? That's the point. See, they're going to keep their arms up the rest of the message, right? I don't know about you, but I know that I could not keep my arms up very, very long. But here's Moses needing to keep his arms up for the victory, because when his arms went down, they started losing. They're going to do it. All the teens are doing it, right? We'll see if they can do it should I preach longer? We're going to really do the test. I'll test everybody else's patience, and we'll test the arm strength of our teens. But the truth is, as Mary Jane just said, I can do it if I have help. And one of the things that Moses discovered is that he would not be able to do it on his own. And so his brother Aaron and his helper Hur were by his side, and when his arms grew tired, they would hold his arms up for him. One of the things we all need to be reminded of is that we cannot do what God calls us to do on our own. We need help. We need each other. We're not going to be able to do it on our own. I think Moses needed to be reminded of that. You know, because Moses had been the leader through all these incredible things. But he also needed to be reminded he was not alone. And sometimes we need to be also reminded that, you know what? Some of the things we might be going through, we cannot go through alone. We need each other. And I hope it'll also be reminded, not only do we need help, but we also sometimes need to become the helpers. Think about what some of our folks are going through. And, you know, we might talk about it. We may not talk about every situation here on a Sunday morning. But if you know people who are going through rough times, who might need help to keep going, become the helper, right? Become the helper. Become the encourager. Become the one who will help them hold their arm up to be able to win the battle. And so it might mean going to the hospital to see somebody. Let them know you love them, you're praying for them. But to do that in person means a lot. Find ways to be able to help the other. Final test is a test of leadership. And again, it involves Moses. Moses is kind of taken on this leadership role at God's call, but what he finds is that it's too many people to try to satisfy all the needs. And so people are coming to him for him to make judgments on cases. They're coming to him to get his wisdom and his help. And amazingly, he didn't understand what he needed to do, and it took his father-in-law, Jethro, to come and say, you know what? You have people standing out here waiting to see you all day long, and they're tired, and they might be grumbling too. And I just think that maybe there's another way to do things. Maybe there's another way to be able to do what needs to be done. He says, why don't you pick some people who understand and are wise and can maybe handle some of those cases that aren't quite so heavy. And you can deal with the more serious things, but why don't you get some help of others? This is more than just the hold my arm up type thing. This is, I need help in a bigger way. And so 70 were selected to be able to help. As I was thinking about that whole thing, I was reminded that, you know, sometimes leaders have a hard time listening to people that might have another idea, that might have a different perspective. And one of the things we should be grateful for is that Moses was willing to listen to his father-in-law, Jethro, and say, you know what? You might be right. Good leaders learn how to listen to other perspectives, to other ways. And that's what Moses had to do. There had to be maybe another way to deal with the issues. And he did it. And that's what carried on, and it really did meet the challenges that he faced. And so here are these four tests. And here's the basic aspect to each of them. Will I trust God for my daily needs? Will we trust God for our deepest needs even when we're in the desert of life? Will we trust God for victory in the battles? And will we trust God to speak to us through others? As all of you have seen over the last few weeks, we have this little poster thing up here that says, what's it going to take? And I just want to leave you with three questions tied to that that goes with our message today. The basic is, what's it going to take to keep moving forward with God? What's it going to take to keep moving forward with Him? Will we need an attitude adjustment to stop grumbling and become more grateful for what the Lord's done? That's a good thing to talk about here in November, isn't it? Any of you guys getting your arms tired? Some of them are disqualified? Yep. Six minutes, 28 seconds. I love it. But think of these questions. Is there an attitude adjustment I need to have where grumbling is not my default, but instead gratitude is? You see, part of trusting God was just believing that He is going to help with those things that we don't know how He might do it, but we're going to trust Him, and we're going to be grateful. There's very few times in these wilderness times that you see a lot of gratitude. So Lord, help us, right, with our attitudes. Another one is, will we need to receive God's provision on His terms instead of ours? Are we willing to listen to His way to go about gathering manna? Or are we going to do it on our own? Decide to do it our way instead of God's way. And the final question is simply this. Are we willing to admit that we need help? That we can't do it alone? That we need God for sure, but we also need each other. We need each other's help. So for some of these teens, some parents might need to come along to help them hold their arms up, right? Some of you are saying, nope, let them fall. But in life, we do need each other, don't we? We need help. We can't do it alone. And you know what? That's why God created the church. God created us to do this journey together because He knew that we try to do it alone, we're not going to last long. We need each other. We need help. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for some reminders this morning of, in our own lives about how sometimes we are or can be that where we really do need to have our attitudes change because we can grumble a lot sometimes and think nothing of it. But Lord, You've been gracious and good and provided so many wonderful things in our lives. And we think about the children of Israel in a wilderness who for 40 years You fed them with manna in a desert. And as soon as they got to the place where they were going to go into the promised land, the manna ended. Because they would have other resources given to them. But Lord, for that time, that was Your provision. Help us to be grateful for Your provisions for us right now. It may change for the future, but right now, help us to just be grateful for what You've done. And Lord, there are some of us here today who just really do need to admit we need each other more than we realize. We need help. And so, Lord, today I pray that you would help us get connected with more, that, Lord, might be encouragers and helpers along the way, and that, Lord, you'd also use us to maybe be one of those helpers to someone. Lord, thank you for the reminders we have today. Keep us close to you, we pray. And Lord, we'll give you all the gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.